السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالف. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: Most respected elders and brothers, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us all the opportunity to gather here for this Jumu'ah Salah, to be present here in this platform of the Jummah Bayan. For many of us, this Jummah Bayan platform and the Bayan that is generally delivered at the time of Jummah, it is about the only program of deen that we will have an opportunity to attend during the course of the week. Due to our activities, a person leaves early in the morning to go and work. By the time he returns at night, he's exhausted. Sometimes, alhamdulillah, some people download some things on their cell phones, some bayans. They listen to one or two bayans. But generally speaking, the person is so tired that by the time the night comes, he wants to retire to bed. So we should make it a point to try and be early for the Jummah bayan so that we can be reminded. In the few minutes that we have, this is a reminder for us. Nevertheless, in this ayat-e kareema, in this noble verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an instruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an instruction. And when Allah ta'ala gives an instruction, that instruction is mandatory and necessary for us to implement in our lives. Allah ta'ala says, O you who believe, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O ye who believe, Ey iman walo, Ey mere pyaro, O my beloved servants. Like how a father is addressing his children, he says, O my children. So by him saying, O my children, there is an element of mahabbat and love that is there. That I am your father, you are my child, I have brought you up, I have seen to you. So Allah Ta'ala is acknowledging this relationship that the servant has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can translate it as, O my beloved servants. Allah Ta'ala says, اتقوا الله, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah ta'ala. This aspect of taqwa, it is the crucial ingredient that we require as Muslims and as believers. Without taqwa, there is hardly any difference between the believer and the disbeliever. Because the disbeliever will engage in all kinds of sins, and you will find that the Muslim who doesn't have taqwa will follow suit. If that non-Muslim is drinking, the Muslim too will participate in drinking. If that non-Muslim is gambling, the Muslim too will start gambling. Whatever the disbeliever involves himself in terms of sins and disobedience, the Muslim who is devoid of taqwa, who doesn't have taqwa, he will engage in those same things. By definition, taqwa, ulama-i kiram explain, kaffun nafsi anil hawa, that the person develops that capacity, he develops that skill, that he is able to restrain himself from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so to say that break, everything has got a break. Whether it's the cars, the trucks, the planes, the trains, They've all got some braking system. They have to move. But if they don't have braking system, then inevitably they will crash. As we conduct ourselves in our daily lives, there has to be some braking mechanism in our lives that stops us from certain things. There has to be some restriction. Today everyone wants freedom. The youngster wants total freedom. The child wants absolute freedom. In the schools, the children want total freedom. No rules. But we all know, respected elders and brothers, that no country can function without rules. Have you ever heard of any country in the world, up till now, that has got no rules and regulations? To such an extent that even if you go on the road and you drive your vehicle, there's a set of rules and regulations. In order for you to get your driver's license, you have to study all the rules and the regulations of the road. Without you realizing it, you are restricted when you're driving on the road. You are bound by certain rules and regulations when you drive on the road. If tomorrow somebody says, listen, I'm not driving on the left-hand side of the road, I'm going to be driving on the opposite lane. On the highway, if all the vehicles are driving in this direction, I'm going in the opposite direction. Because I want total freedom. I don't want to be restricted. I want to do as I please, when I please, how I please. Either that person will land up in jail, or he will have a head-on collision and land up in hospital, or worst case scenario, he'll land up in the Qabristan. He'll be in the graveyard. So without us realizing, we've got rules and regulations that are restricting us in every single facet of our lives. When we run our business, there's regulations that we need to follow. When we build our homes, there's certain regulations that we need to follow. When a person enrolls his child in a school, there's certain rules and regulations, there's a code of conduct that the parent has to sign. So there's no such thing, respected elders and brothers, as freedom. Total freedom doesn't exist. It's something which is impossible. But Shaitan deceives man. He says that this Islam came and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this. You must have total freedom. And then the person starts really thinking that, well, Islam is restricting me, it's restraining me, and all these rules and regulations are restraining me. The fact of the matter, respected elders and brothers, that organization that has a good set of rules and regulations, and those rules and regulations are implemented, you find that organization or that business prospers. There's prosperity in that business. All the staff are governed by rules and regulations, and they implement it and follow it, and you find there's so much of uniformity in that organization. It avoids any form of injustice because everyone is treated fairly. Not that today the boss decides to fire that one and somebody else committed the same crime, the boss gives him a chance, and somebody else commits the crime three times and the boss still allows him to continue, or somebody even thinks of committing the crime and the boss fires him. This will be injustice. The one worker or staff will say, well, why? What was the difference between myself and him? I mean, I just thought about it and I was fired. He did it three times and he's still working there. When there are policies and rules and regulations, it leads to justice, it leads to fairness. So the point I'm making is that every organization, every institute, every country has a set of rules and regulations that govern it. And if it is implemented, then you find that there's uniformity, there's justice, there's peace, there's tranquility, there's harmony in that environment. As Muslims, Allah Ta'ala has given us a set of rules and regulations that govern us. We are restricted. We cannot eat certain food. We cannot engage in certain activities. But all of that which we have been forbidden from is for our own benefit. It is for our own benefit. That is why one person said, in haram, in everything that is haram, there is harm. If you engage in any haram activity, the outcome is that there will be some harm to you. Let's take alcohol for example. Allah Ta'ala has made it forbidden for Muslims to drink. drug taking, kullu muskirin haramun, every intoxicant is haram. Now if the person has to drink, he says, no, I'm not going to fulfill and follow this command of Allah, na'udhu billahi min dhalik, may Allah protect us from such thoughts. But the person says, no, I'm still going to drink. Eventually the consequence and the outcome is that not only will he harm himself, he will harm his family, and sometimes the entire society will be harmed in the process. So Allah Ta'ala in reality is protecting the person from harm. But shaitan makes us miss the point. It is like the example of a little child. The little child sees a colorful ayn. The ayn that is used to press the clothing and remove the creases. In the mind of the child, that ayn looks like a toy. The child is attracted to that colorful ayn. The parent rebukes the child, reprimands the child. Says, listen, my dear child, don't touch that ayn. For if you will touch that ayn, you will be harmed, you will be burnt. But now the child throws a tantrum. The child gets upset. Why are my parents restricting me? Why are they stopping me from touching this ayn? But we all know that the reason why the parent is stopping the child from touching that ayn is because the child can get injured. The child will suffer afterwards. If the child gets burnt, the child will be harmed. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala loves His servants, Allah loves His creation more than even a mother loves a child. And Allah Ta'ala has forbidden certain things for us to protect us from harm. To protect us from harm. Therefore, respected elders and mothers, first we need to change our mindset. Don't ever think that Allah Ta'ala is restricting us. Allah is not restricting us, Allah is protecting us. Allah is protecting us. Once we change our mindset, now we need to build within ourselves that capacity, that taqwa. Those brakes need to be sharpened so that we can stop. The youngster wants to get involved in this illicit love relationship. We say love is blind. Hubbuka shay yu'mi wa yusim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your love for something blinds you and makes you deaf. What does it mean? That when a person falls in love, when that boy falls in love with a girl, then it can be his father, his grandfather, his ustad, the alim. They can all explain to him that, my son, this girl is not good for you. But he will not listen. He won't hear anything. He becomes deaf. His love, his heart has been stolen. His love for that girl blinds him. Though his parents are advising him, they are wise. They have the experience. They are telling him this girl is harmful. It's a big decision you need to be making in your life. He says, no, I don't want to hear anything. They're telling him, but don't you know she's like this, and don't you know this about her, and don't you know about her family this year and that there? Nothing. No. He becomes completely deaf. حُبُّكَ شَيْءٍ يُعْمِي وَيُسِمْ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your love for something blinds you and makes you deaf. Hence, O youngsters, O youth, get married the proper way. Avoid getting involved with girls and falling in love with them, because that's going to blind you. And then sometimes you will suffer for the rest of your life. The consequences is that the person suffers for the rest of his life. He falls in love with that girl. Looks, as they don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a book by its cover. So now she looks very beautiful. Her cheeks are very rosy. Her complexion is very nice. She's got a very sweet voice. That's the cover that you are seeing. And then the person falls in love and gets married to the girl. And then afterwards the true colors come out. Now the person is turning grey before his time. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made one dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min imra'atin tushayyibuni qabla al-mashib. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, O Allah, and this is a dua that he taught his ummah, that O Allah, I seek refuge from a woman who will make me grey before my time. A woman can make a person grey before his time. And those of us who have daughters, it is important for us to bring up our daughters correctly. That they should never be spoiled. Allah may have blessed us with wealth, but we don't know what can happen to this daughter of ours in her future life. Perhaps the husband could go bankrupt, may Allah protect, but it can happen. Perhaps somebody could do him down in his business, and he could go through severe financial constraints and restraints. Now if that daughter of yours was not given the skill of being able to live a simple life and come down and eat simple food now and again, then she won't be able to tolerate it. She won't be able to withstand it. And now she'll start making divans. And now the marriage will start going through a rocky situation. There'll be turmoil in that kind of a marriage. But that person who brought his daughter up, trained her, taught her to be simple, taught her to be appreciative, taught her good manners, taught her about respect for the adults, respect for others, taught her about the being selfless as opposed to being selfish, then subhanallah, that kind of a girl, that kind of a girl would be appreciated in any home. She would be regarded as precious. And because she would have such qualities, people would be inclined to her. People will love her. Her father-in-law will love her. Her mother-in-law will love her. Her extended family will begin loving her. Because she has those qualities. So don't judge a book by its cover. Look at what are the internal qualities. That is why Nabi Kareem Sahasim said, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْءُ لِأَرْبَعَ لِمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِجِمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَظْفَرْ بِذَادِ الدِّينِ. A woman is married for four reasons. For her wealth. Sometimes she's very wealthy, so the person says, if I get married to her, I'm sorted out. I don't have to work. So sometimes the person gets married to a woman because of her wealth. Sometimes because of her lineage, she comes from a very good family. That does not necessarily mean that her qualities are good. Sometimes those are the girls who have been spoiled the most. Wali jamaliha, and her beauty. I just look at the beauty and that is it. And then Nabi Sassam said, sometimes a woman is married because of her deen, because of her piety. Nabi Sassam said, you seek success by giving deen preference. If you want happiness in your life, if you want satisfaction, if you want your children to be the coolness of your eyes, then choose a wife who has got deen in her life. Now some of us are seated here will say, Maulana, I've already passed that phase. I got married in those days. We did it the wrong way. Now what's the way forward for us? So the way forward for us, respected Alis and brothers, is that these kind of programs that we have, inshallah, not this Monday, next week Monday, there'll be a program taking place here. The time will be confirmed, inshallah. But we should bring our women folk and let them participate in these programs. Of course, we should make sure that the program is separate ladies' facilities. Sometimes there are many bogus mashayikh out there and peers, claim to be peers. So they are shaking hands with the women folk. Shaking hands with the woman folk. One person said, the sheikh, so he sits all alone with the lady murids. So somebody said, why are you alone with the... He said, no, alhamdulillah, I've already killed my nafs. My nafs has been killed. So that kind of a person will say that he needs to be sent to the doctor to get himself checked out. If he doesn't have any inclination for woman folk, there's something wrong with him. Nabi Sassam said that a man should not be in solitude with a woman in a room. There should always be somebody else present. So nevertheless, these kind of programs, let our women folk attend, provided it's separate and the alim is authentic, is qualified. Then inshallah, slowly but surely, her life will start changing. There are ta'aleem programs that take place. We have the ladies' ta'aleem programs that take place. Let them participate. Let them get into that kind of an environment. Inshallah, that will influence her. And slowly, deen will start coming into her life. It is never too late. When that happens to her, then you will find that, respected brothers, your home will become Jannat on earth. Your home will become Jannat on earth. Allah Ta'ala will bring such mahabbat, such love. That's why Nabi Kareem Sahasim said that when a person gets married, he completes half of his iman. Because that wife of yours, if she has got deen in her life, then subhanallah, she will allow the man to be so much more focused in his matters, in his work. Because he's got peace of mind, he's got peace of heart. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all of that. Ameen sounded a little louder than normal, mashallah. So respected elders and brothers, in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala exhorts us and encourages us to adopt the quality of taqwa in our lives. But then Allah Ta'ala follows up with something. You see, Allah Ta'ala doesn't just give commands. Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen. Allah is most merciful. Allah Ta'ala gives us a solution. Allah Ta'ala teaches us how to develop this taqwa. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, adopt the company of the pious. Sit in the company of the pious. Get into good company. When you will get into good company, that inshallah, that taqwa will come automatically. And the person says, how do I get taqwa? No, it's not possible for me. Sit in the company of those who have got taqwa. Sit in the company of the ulama. Sit in the company of the pious individuals. You will find slowly but surely, without even realizing it, suddenly that taqwa comes in your heart. Normally you would never think twice of swearing someone. Somebody upset you, you'll just swear him every single swear word that's found in the English vocabulary. Some of them are not even found in the dictionary. But now you came into the company of pious person, and you found that this pious person, not once he ever swore. Even when someone made him upset and angry, he never ever swore the person. And now you, without realizing, you're watching him. And then somebody enraged you, somebody upset you, and you're about to swear. And perhaps you even swore. But before swearing, you thought about it. That thought crossed your mind, no, I shouldn't swear. But you couldn't control yourself and you carried on. Even that too is progress. Previously you wouldn't have even thought about it. But now you at least thought about it. And continue staying in his company until eventually a time will come where you won't even swear. We won't even realize it. One person came to one great alim. He had a massive temper problem. A very, very temperamental person. So he told him that, I want you to go by a certain person. He runs a bookshop. I want you for 1 week to sit in his company. Just sit there. He's selling books, you just sit in his company. So he went, and after 1 week he returned. He came to the alim, he said, Hazrat, I don't know what it is, but alhamdulillah, after 1 week, my anger is completely gone. So he says, no, I knew inshallah it will come right. Because that particular person who runs that bookshop, he's known to be an extremely tolerant person. He's extremely tolerant. Doesn't get angry. When you will sit in the company of a tolerant person, automatically tolerance will come into you. When you will sit in the company of a person who is temperamental, then you will become temperamental. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in one beautiful hadith that Al-Wahdatu khayrun min jalisi su. Al-Wahdatu khayrun min jalisi su. That solitude is better than bad company. You'd rather be on your own. Solitude is better than bad company. Rather sit on your own and avoid bad company. Brothers are all smoking. You're going to sit with them. Eventually, somebody will tell you, you know, try one. And next thing, you took one. And afterwards, eventually, you become an occasional smoker, and then you become a habitual smoker, until eventually you're a chain smoker. Chain smoker, as soon as the one finishes, the next one is in the mouth. Sometimes they light the one with the other. May Allah protect us. Smoking is a very, very bad habit. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, or Allah Ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu wala taqtulu anfusakum. Don't kill yourself. Do not engage in any activity that can cause harm to your own body. So we make dua, Allah Ta'ala grants everyone the tawfiq to give up this habit of smoking. Ulama kiram have explained that it's makruh tahrimi. Some ulama even state it's haram. The majority state it's makruh tahrimi. Makruh, which is close to haram, and if a person continuously engages in a makruh, eventually it becomes haram. So the person should try and stop this. So much of harm, scientifically, medically proven. And of course, the smell that is there, the person doesn't even realize it. His poor wife has to go through this. His poor wife has to inhale his bad breath smell. So in any case, the person will sit in the company of those who smoke, eventually he'll start smoking. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, avoid bad company, rather be alone. وَالْجَلِيسُ الصَّالِحْ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الْوَحْدِ. And on the other hand, good company is better than being in solitude. Instead of being alone, if you have the opportunity to be in good company, rather stay away from being on your own and join that good company. By sitting in the company of good people, eventually good habits will come into your life. So this is one very easy way Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has encouraged us, that all you who believe, adopt taqwa. And how do you develop this taqwa? Find the company of the pious. When you will sit in their company, automatically this quality of taqwa will start creeping in your life without you even realizing. In fact, one alim mentioned that when a person will adopt the company of the pious, then practicing on deen will not only become easy, in fact it will actually become enjoyable. The person will actually enjoy fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person will enjoy coming to the masjid and performing salah. The person will enjoy opening the Quran Sharif and reading it. It won't be something that will be easy. In fact, you will find enjoyment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that kind of enjoyment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to adopt the company of the pious, and will terminate on the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that al-mar'u ala dini khalili falyanzur ahadukum man yukhali. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person follows the way of his friends. He follows the way of his friends. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِدْ. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised his ummah that be very careful who you befriend. Choose your friends very carefully. Be selective. There is a famous incident that took place in the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Makkatul Mukarrama, one mushrik, one idol worshipper, he invited all the senior people of Makkatul Mukarrama for a meal. Like how we have dawahs taking place, the person invites all the people of the community. There's some event that took place, so he invited all the prominent people of Makkah Sharif for a dawah to his home. Amongst the people that were invited was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused the dawah. He then approached Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that why are you not attending this dawah? He says, look, you are a mushrik, you are a polytheist, you are idol worshipper. I do not want to accept your dawah. If you are Muslim, I would have accepted your offer. There and then, this person accepted Islam. He says, well, I accept Islam. They had a lot of hospitality in those days. They would go out of the way and do anything to please the mehman and the guests. So he accepted Islam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, in that case, I will accept your dawah. However, after accepting Islam, the news spread. He had some bad friends. He had some very bad friends who were staunch enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were staunch enemies of Islam. He went back to sit with his friends. So his friends immediately told him that we heard that you now accepted the Islam. You accepted the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, well, you know how it is now. I invited him. He didn't want to come. And this is the... So he went to be... So they said, well, if that's the case, you gave preference to him over us, our friendship is over. So he says, no, come on, we have a long relationship, so now our friendship is over. So, well, why? He says, until you don't reject him, then we're not your friend. Now the peer pressure. He says, okay, if that's the case, I come out of Islam. They said, no, we want you to prove it. We want you to go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we want you to spit in his face. This wretched person then went to please his friends. He went to the and confronted our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he then spat in the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala reveals the ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. The gist of those verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says on the day of Qiyamah, when that zalim and that oppressor will bite his hands, he will bite his hands and he will say that, woe to me, that why did I not follow the Nabi of Allah? Woe to me, my friends caused me to go astray from the path. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. After Allah gave me hidayat, my friends caused me to go off track and to leave the path. From this, respected elders and brothers, we take a lesson till the day of Qiyamah. That if you choose bad friends, those friends can derail you and they can take you off the path. That is why be very careful who you befriend, who you associate yourself. You choose your circle of friends very carefully. Be selective. Those individuals who bring you closer to the masjid, bring you closer to the programs, bring you closer to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are friends you should treasure. And on the contrary, those individuals who are discouraging you, then make salam to them. Keep it a, you know, salam relationship. Assalamu alaikum, how are you keeping? How's the family? How's the weather? Alhamdulillah, weather is very good. Make dua for me, bas. Keep it at that. If you're going to keep the friendship too close, then unfortunately, the other day one youngster, will terminate on this, sent a message to me that, Maulana, you know, I've got a non-Muslim friend. But Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, la tattakhidu al-yahuda wal-nasara awliya, O ye who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians as your friends, and the mushrikeen as your friends. Now, but he's my friend. Why can't I take him as my friend? So I said, look, it doesn't mean you must shun the person. It doesn't mean you must be rude to the person. It doesn't mean you mustn't have courtesy with the person. But if you're going to take that person as your bosom friend, then remember this person is refusing to accept Allah as his Malik. He's rejecting Rasulullah sallallahu, is refusing to accept the Rasul of Allah as the final Nabi of Allah. He's the enemy of Allah. He's the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inevitably, if you become too close to him, there's a great possibility he will persuade you and influence you to come out and move further away from the deen of Allah. This is the hikmah why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has discouraged us and instructed us not to take as bosom friends those who are the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to adopt the company of the pious. May Allah ta'ala protect us from bad company. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'ana and alhamdulillah. Thank you.